This is Jay Sekulow from Washington, D.C. No collusion and no obstruction.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Bob Mueller concluded after issuing, and I like to give these numbers, 2,800 subpoenas, 500 search warrants, 230 orders for communications, 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers, 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence, and 500 witness interviews, that there was, as the president has said from the outset, no collusion.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We have complete vindication. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, the question now is, if there was no evidence of collusion, three investigations, no evidence of collusion, who made it up?
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to a very special broadcast. I'm in our studios in Washington, D.C. with my colleague and co-counsel, Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York. The mayor's going to be with us for the full hour. Jordan's down in our media center headquarters. We are going to be discussing the breaking news that was breaking yesterday, and that, of course, is that the Attorney General of the United States issued a report, at least the initial phase of a report, what they called principal conclusions, which came to two principal conclusions. There was, in fact, no collusion with the Russian government or people affiliated with the Russian government and the Trump campaign or people affiliated with the Trump campaign, and there was no obstruction. We're going to get into the particulars in a moment. But this is a significant win. And I want to start. This is historic. So we're coming to you. This is our first broadcast where Rudy and I have been together to talk about this on to our network and to our audience of millions of people around the country. So I want to go to the mayor first here and say, Mayor, your reaction when we first got the word. We were very excited. That's a fair statement. I'll tell you that.
We were very excited because you don't usually get a letter like this in one of these investigations. I mean, I've done them on both sides for years. I can't remember one that's quite as strong a vindication as this one. Usually you get a letter saying the prosecutor declined prosecution. End of story. You don't add anything to it. Only time you would do it is if it was a very special situation the person wanted it. I mean, this one is very, very clear. Absolutely not a scintilla of evidence of corruption, and the Attorney General and Rod Rosenstein and the Office of Legal Counsel,
very important,
concluded
there,
no actions that in our judgment constitute obstructive conduct. That means no obstruction. So everybody's all concerned about their saying, well, they can't conclude whether he did or he didn't.
Bob Mueller specifically, according to this was put in Bill Barr's report, he said that the special counsel, this was exactly what he said, states that while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, in other words, the report doesn't say the president committed a crime, this special counsel's report, it does also does not exonerate him. And then it goes on to say that is because they were, and this is the exact phrase that they used, the special counsel views the difficult issues, that's a quote, of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction. So the special counsel acknowledged it was difficult facts and difficult law to apply on that on those issues, difficult issues of law and fact. And then the Attorney General, pursuant to the Office of Legal Counsel and the Deputy Attorney General, concluded that in cataloging the president's actions, many of which took place in a public view, the report identifies no actions that, in our judgment, constitute obstructive conduct. We're going to get into more of that in a moment. Jordan, what has been the reaction of developing next steps here? What's been the reaction in the media so far? We've been on the media. We haven't had a chance to listen to it.
The mainstream media is shocked. I mean, mouth open kind of shocked when they have to continue to repeat that there is no Russian collusion. This message, I mean, you could go through bites after bite after bite of all of them trying to make these connections, and the fact that it's so clear and quoted directly from Bob Mueller that the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign or its associates conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference. It even went further and said to Russian individuals in another part of this four-page report in talking about the hacking. So not just the Russian government, but Russian-related individuals. No collusion there at all. It's also, Dad, I think, been a great day for the country.
Yeah, I think that's real. In fact, when we get back from the break, I want to talk about that. It is a great day for the country. Historic day for us as lawyers representing the president, and all three of us did. We're going to have more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Coming to you out of Washington, D.C. with a big announcement. The biggest announcement of any of our legal careers. And I've argued over a dozen cases at the Supreme Court over 3 decades. Rudy Giuliani has been a U.S. attorney, the number 3 at the Justice Department, and the mayor of New York. Would you say, Mayor, this is the biggest win of your legal career, my legal career?
Absolutely. Sure. When do you get to represent the President of the United States? In a situation in which I think we both felt this. You know he's innocent.
Right.
He's being treated differently because he's the president and because he's Donald Trump. And so much was at stake. And he was innocent. And you would say, well, that's it. But not with the kind of bias and prejudice and everything else going on. So you had to fight a lot of things. Legal problems, public relations problems, media bias.
Yep.
And public opinion, which is so important to the whole question of does anybody want to impeach him?
Right. Don't think that's going to go anywhere. Let me go through the letter. Jordan, you've talked to some people I know in the last 24 hours, people that we know, people we work with, but other people as well. What is the general, we know what the media, you said what the media reaction is. Yep. What's the general reaction right now?
It's a complete victory for President Trump and a complete vindication for President Trump in the sense that you have, one, the biggest issue being that this idea that he tried his campaign and that he knew about his campaign doing it and his campaign were working with the Russian government. Now it is clear none of the campaign members were, nor any of the campaign's associates were working with the Russian government. I mean, you can read a lot into that sentence from Bob. That is a sentence from Bob Mueller in one part about the overall Russian collusion. And then in the letter, when it gets into the two types of Russian interference, the bots on Twitter bots, the IRA, that company that was operating out of Moscow, the Internet Research Agency, they weren't coordinating at all with any Trump campaign associates or Trump campaign officials. And then the hackers of the DNC, of the Clinton emails and campaign emails and all that, no cooperation there, no collusion there either. So I think it that narrative that the left has set up has just completely been eviscerated. And on this obstruction question, they just don't want to accept the fact that Bob Mueller let Bill Barr make the decision, gave the decision to Bill Barr. He alone chose a special counsel to do it. This was a special counsel, and we've had criticisms of this team before, of the kind of the left-leaning members of this team. But this is a special counsel that was praised a whole lot more by the left than the right until... He gave Bill Barr a decision to make.
Exactly. Yeah. Rudy, what's your reaction?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The key point here is that it would not have been impossible, you know, for somebody on the campaign to have done something and the president wouldn't know. I was always afraid of that.
Right.
Because I ran a campaign and I ran a city. And people did some things that were wrong. I didn't know about it. I didn't want them to. So I'm really glad they put that in there because it removes any question about any kind of involvement with Russians, which is what he said to us from the very beginning. I mean, the president's frustration has been, as any innocent person would be, I didn't do anything.
Remember, I didn't speak to a Russian about any of this. I didn't know a Russian about any of this.
And I knew it was true. I was with him for 4 months. I'm not going to say every hour of the day, but 12, 13, 14 hours. He's a very open guy. I mean, he on the plane, he's no different than he is when he'll take a phone call and he'll talk right in front of you.
Yep.
There's no way he was colluding with the Russians. No, I would have known it.
Right.
And I think you can ask anybody on that campaign, and they'll tell you, no way, he wasn't doing it. And the frustration of their pushing this narrative was really one of the reasons why when Jay asked me to get involved in the case, I felt so strongly about it because I knew personally that he was innocent.
Well, I cannot describe enough the ability as a lawyer at this stage of my career to be able to work alongside Rudy Giuliani I appreciate that, but I'm going to tell you, this has been, I wrote you a note on Thanksgiving and at Christmas, and you did it back, and I appreciated that this has been an incredible experience for all of us. Let's go through what we're dealing with here and kind of next steps, because in the back half, we'll get into what does it mean for Congress and all of those hearings, but let's talk about what's decided. So let's start with what Bill Barr puts forward in his letter. So this was a letter, by the way, that was sent to Chairman Graham and Chairman Nadler, that's Judiciary, Ranking Member Feinstein, Ranking Member Collins, that's in the House. So Senate and the House Judiciary chairs. The letter is a supplement to his notification that he provided on Friday. So understand this, the Attorney General gets this report on Friday at 5 o'clock, and on Sunday at 4:15, it's released, at least this portion of it. I'm sure they're working on the other aspects of it now. But let's talk about what happened here. The first thing he puts forward is the scope and nature of this investigation. So here's what we have. This is what it says. He employed 19 lawyers who were assisted by a team of 40 FBI agents. He had intelligence analysts, forensic accountants, and other professionals. Ready for this, folks? The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, issued almost 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers. What is a pen register for people that don't know?
A pen register lets you see what number called the other number. It doesn't tell you the communication. It tells you Rudy Giuliani called Jay Sekulow's number.
Okay. And then made 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. So let's talk about...
Wow.
Because this it ties into what's going on in the House and Senate right now. How comprehensive was this investigation? I've never seen anything like it.
Well, first of all, right from that paragraph, it just about says there can't be any obstruction to justice. I mean, nobody stopped them from doing any of this.
Right.
So what was obstructed? All these people, obstruction to justice, what was obstructed? They did all this. The president didn't destroy any emails. He didn't use a hammer to destroy any cell phones, and he didn't get rid of servers. I mean, everything was given to them that they wanted and more. And 500 witnesses, probably 40 of which we could have objected to, the way Clinton did in his probe, and made it harder for them to deal. Maybe they wouldn't have gotten some of that testimony, but we let them.
We did kind of the opposite of the Clinton case.
Gave them everything.
Yeah. So they had, people understand, and Jordan, you worked on this. We provided, when I say we, the White House, the inaugural committee, the campaign committee, provided over 1,400,000 documents, dozens of witness interviews, all voluntarily, and we'll get to the written questions issue next in the next segment and talk about the request for an interview of the president. We'll get into it. I want to save that for the next segment. But we gave unprecedented, Jordan, it was unprecedented access that we gave to the special counsel's
office.
And
in first reaction, no attorneys would do that in this kind of situation. And I think here's the difference between how Clinton was fighting witnesses in court and who could testify and who could not testify, and President Trump was not, and this legal team was not. President Trump had nothing to hide. He had committed no crime. He had not. He had nothing to gain by hiding information or attempting to exclude information from going to the special counsel or having witnesses testify to the special counsel's team. Bill Clinton, on the other hand, had a lot of issues going on. There was Whitewater. There was the Monica Lewinsky issue. I mean, there was multiple issues going on. So he had a reason why, in his own interest, he needed maybe more to fight out for his own legal protection. He ultimately, you know, we know what happened there. But in this matter, the president said all along, this didn't happen, and here's all the documents, and here's all the people you want to talk to.
So here's what it says. The report does not recommend any further indictments, nor does the special counsel obtain any, nor did the special counsel obtain any sealed indictments that have yet to be made public. So, Rudy, in that sense, this investigation from the special counsel is done.
Correct. And not a single charge of collusion with Russians, conspiracy with Russians. So in addition to the very unequivocal finding, the result is nothing indictable. And no conspiracy to obstruct justice, by the way. So that pretty much is what you would, this is pretty much the way you would end a typical declination letter. Explain what was done. We don't have enough evidence to go forward. End of letter.
So this is also the end of their office, though. They are closing their office up. Special counsel.
Good.
Is,
I'm glad they are.
Yeah, they are closing the office. They've got a couple of people there putting, I guess, the files together. But that is complete. When we come back from the break, I want to get into the first phase of this, which was the Russian interference aspect, the counterintelligence investigation. And I want to get into what the conclusions were there. Then we'll get into the obstruction issue. Then we're going to get into what does this mean for Congress. We've got a lot to talk about. We are really going through this with you right now. Jordan's going to let you know, though, also how you can support the work of the ACLJ as we're in a matching challenge campaign month.
That's right. At ACLJ.org, you can donate online now. Double your support. Every donation is matched. That's at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, matching challenge. Go there, ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate is effectively doubled. We've got a donor ready to match that donation, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
When a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected, is there any hope for that culture to survive? And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
you're just joining us, I'm with Mayor Rudy Giuliani, my co-counsel representing the President of the United States. Rudy Giuliani served as our lead counsel. And Jordan is in our studio in our media center, who also worked on the case. But we were just talking about this during the break here, about some of our other colleagues that initially worked on the case and laid forward a strategy that ended up being very, very successful. And we should say a little bit about that. It was before I was involved in it early on, right at the beginning. Rudy, you came in after we made some changes were made. But let's talk about what Ty did and John Dowd.
Well, you, John and Ty, and you're the consistent link through the whole thing. But John and Ty and you made a very, very tough and difficult decision to turn everything over. Even though the president is innocent, you can always have things that can be misconstrued. And when you're turning over that much and you're turning it over to people, frankly, who you know have a bias against him.
Right.
They had somebody from the Clinton Foundation working there. They had people who were crying at Hillary's loss.
You had the whole Peter Strzok, Lisa Page
and,
issue.
And yeah,
the agents.
Peter Strzok just laid it out cold. You know, right. He wanted to prevent him. So you made the decision to do it. Had you not made the decision to do it, it'd have been very, very hard to deal with the rest of the case, you know, because then the whole idea of the questions and further questions, by the time you did that, honestly, there was no reason for any. They knew the answer to everything, whether they liked it or not. They had the answer to everything right in front of them.
So my theory was that by providing the information and the witnesses, then when they were going to do ultimately, which we knew at some point they would ask for, which is, of course, that they wanted to talk to the president. At that point, you got involved in the case.
Right.
They started that early, but then you got involved in the case. Jane and Marty Raskin, our colleagues, got involved in the case. And it was very clear that with providing that kind of information, 1,400,000 documents, dozens of witness interviews, including White House officials, hours and hours and hours, I mean hundreds of thousands of hours of interviews, that they did not have the predicate case to demand a subpoena of the president.
Right. The standard basically is, You can't get the president or even a cabinet member like Espy,
right,
or unless you can show need for it and you can't get it anywhere else. Well, they already had it. And I think that's the difference with the Clinton case, where Clinton had fought all the way. And by the time it came to his statement, he didn't really have that argument. He couldn't have made that argument.
So, you know, Jordan, you remember those early days when we were debating back and forth whether the interview takes place. And initially, remember, the president was willing to do it. He
he
said, I want to do it, because that's the personality that our president is. And it was the lawyers that were saying that's just, and most lawyers agreed with us, that's not the appropriate thing to do. But you remember those early days.
Absolutely. And I think it goes along with the fact that, as the president said all along, you know, that he was wanted to do an interview if his attorneys believed it was the right thing to do. But that he was turning over so much information, so many documents, allowing so many other people to go and testify, that there, again, was not much left to ask the president about. And of course, it's the president of the United States. It's a very high bar to interview. And I think when you really look at this, you think about how it started with the dossier and this going back into these individuals now that have been disgraced from the FBI and the Department of Justice, Peter Strzok and the McCabe's, the Lisa Pages, and even the Jim Comey's to an extent, who were playing games and still are playing games with what they thought about the dossier and who they got it from. I mean, that's still being reported that the sources.
Right.
Is that the president, even though he knew that he had done nothing wrong, that this was going to be a huge distraction for the first couple of years of his presidency, he allowed this investigation to move forward. That doesn't mean he never voiced concerns about it or was upset about it because of how it was affecting the country and the ability to govern, even internationally. But at the same time, I think it shows a lot that at the end of the day, did Bob Mueller or anybody on the special counsel's team allege that President Trump or anyone within President Trump's government or legal team ever tried to interfere with their investigation? The answer was absolutely not.
That's correct. And there was no reportable event to Congress. Let me read under the Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This is the first aspect of the investigation. This is on page 2 of the letter. It says the report, and Bill Barr's referring to the special counsel report, further explains that a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, including individuals associated with the Trump campaign, joined the Russian conspiracies to influence the election, which would be a federal crime. Here is what the special counsel said. So Bill Barr then writes, the special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia in efforts to influence the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Then he writes, as the report states, quote, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. And, Mayor, you had all of these members of the United States Congress going on TV saying it's cold-hearted evidence. It's right before us. There was collusion. We want to know what happened at the Trump Tower meeting. We want to know about the collusion. And here, unequivocally, the special counsel, Bob Mueller, says there is none.
Including Congressman Schiff, who very, very prominently said, I have not just circumstantial evidence, but I have direct evidence of collusion. Where is that evidence, Congressman? Where is it? Did you give it to Mueller? I mean, are you keeping it? You're hiding it? I mean, you have the evidence? Obviously, he didn't have evidence. What really bothers me is that, look, I was in politics. I understand hyperbole. I understand how you get carried away and you get emotional. I've made mistakes. But aren't any of these people going to apologize? I mean, he said he had evidence of collusion. He didn't.
Some said treasonous. It was treasonous conduct.
Well, Brennan said that.
Yep.
I mean, there are people who touched on that. These people should apologize. Nadler, even Schumer and Pelosi got pretty close to saying that he was guilty of collusion. That's a pretty darn serious charge against the president of the United States. And you can look at them and you can see how disappointed they are. As Americans, we all should be happy that the president
His
team didn't engage in this kind of conduct. Thank God.
I think that's
100%
right.
For the country.
There's an interesting aspect in the letter. Again, it's on page 2, and it says that the special counsel did not find that any U.S. person, by the way, or Trump campaign official or associate conspired or knowingly coordinated with the IRA, its Russian intelligence, in efforts, although the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian nationals entities in connection with these activities, which was fine. They thought there was Russian interference. Mm-hmm. They brought charges. And at the end of those charges, though, had nothing to do. And we knew this as the indictments were coming down, Jordan. As these indictments came down, there was nothing alleging any type of conspiracy or collusion. Collusion is really not a legal term of art, but a conspiracy with the Russians. It was never there in any of these indictments that came down.
No, it wasn't there when they indicted the Russians from the Internet Research Agency, the IRA, which was running all of those bots and the fake news that was supposedly out there on social media. They charged Russians and Russian organizations and companies. They didn't charge any Americans or anybody associated with or working for the Trump campaign on those issues of actually working with the IRA. Anybody who was American that got caught up in any kind of legal issues with the special counsel, not one of those charges alleges collusion or a conspiracy to work with the Russian government to impact the U.S. election. Not one of the people serving in jail right now or being tried.
Very, very good word. Very, very good news for the president of the United States. And as we just said, really great news for the United States of America.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to get more into this. We're going to look at the political side of this. We want to go through some more of this letter. A huge win. No obstruction. No collusion. I would say for the lawyers that are on this broadcast right now, this is the biggest win of our careers.
Absolutely.
I don't see how it ever gets any
Most
bigger
important.
Than this. Most important for the country. All right, we're going to be back in a few minutes. Don't forget the ACLJ's Matching Challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. We're going to take more comments when we come back. We'll be back in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This is stunning. Mm-hmm. After 675 days, after a country has been through obsession, really, of this case and nonstop coverage, this is the conclusion that no American conspired or worked with Russia to alter the 2016 election.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
And by the way, in addition to that aspect of it, of course, also the conclusion that there was no obstruction. But let me just read this on page two, talking about the whole issue of the conclusion on no collusion, which was the basis upon which this all started, the Fusion GPS dossier, the FISA warrants, all this conclusion talk, and the special counsel said there was just nothing there. The second element that the special counsel looked at involved the Russian government's efforts to conduct or computer hacking operations designed to gather and disseminate information to influence the election. The special counsel found that the Russian government actors successfully hacked into computers and obtained emails from persons affiliated with the Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party organization and publicly disseminated those materials through intermediaries, including WikiLeaks. But then they say this, based on these activities, the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian military officers for conspiring to hack into computers in the United States for the purposes of influencing the election. But I want you to listen to this, everybody. But as noted above, the special counsel did not find, let me read that again, but as noted above, the special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anybody associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple offers from Russian-affiliated individuals to assist. So basically there were these moves by the Russians to try to influence or infiltrate the campaign, and the campaign rebuffed it.
Absolutely right. And, I mean, when you think of all the rumors about this one getting indicted, that one getting indicted, how often did we have to tamp down these false rumors?
And say it has nothing to do with
how malicious
collusion.
This was.
Yeah.
And no indictments, no suggestion anybody did anything wrong. I mean, that's about as complete a vindication as you're going to get. Nobody in the campaign took the bait. And I wonder if some of those weren't done in order to try to entrap people. I mean, you think about the fact, one of the meetings that took place, they had just met with the guy who ran Fusion GPS.
GPS, right.
There's a lot that has to be looked at here. I finished the collusion section of this by saying, well, then if it's not true, if it is completely not true, we've had three investigations that almost have proven the negative.
Right.
Who did it? Where did this come from? Thin air?
Yeah.
I think that somebody's got to go determine that now. Somebody's got to go determine.
How did this all
look
start?
Look at Orr, look at Steele, look at Strzok, look at McCabe, look at Comey. Comey signed one of those affidavits. This struck me really dramatically. Steele does a whole big, silly, stupid dossier that looks like it's written for National Enquirer.
Right.
Not an intelligence document. I just talked to a prosecutor in one of the places we were waiting, and he said the first two pages, he read it, and he said, this is a piece of garbage. Well, they paid $1.1 million for that.
Right.
Courts never told that. Courts never told that Steele hasn't been in Russia for 9 years. How are you going to write a document about all this deep intrigue in Russia?
The deep state of Russia, right.
By telephone?
Yeah.
He interviewed people by telephone?
Right. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going
to
be taking
it. There was something I wanted to note that I thought was important because I saw one of these Democrat members of Congress on saying, you know, this report, it keeps saying that no collusion with Russian government officials. But as you just read, a Russian affiliated individuals as well. So that member of Congress missed that point. And that's a pretty tough distinction to make anyway, yes, between Russian government and Russian affiliated. But they made clear that it wasn't just government officials that there was no collusion with. There was no collusion with Russian affiliated individuals either.
Right. All right. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. Or actually, we're going to keep talking because we got a lot to cover with you. Jordan's going to let you know about the ACLJ's matching challenge.
Yeah. ACLJ.org. If you donate today, your donation is doubled. And this is a matching challenge month of March. March is a... we got a little bit more time in March, but your donation, double the impact at ACLJ.org. Donate today. We'll be right back.
At
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I am here with my colleague and the lead counsel in our case involving defending the President of the United States, and I might say defending it successfully, Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Jordan, of course, is in our media center. We're here in our offices in Washington, D.C. Let's get to the obstruction aspect of this, because this was the second part. The President fires James Comey. The FBI launches a obstruction investigation. Bob Mueller gets appointed and inherits the counterintelligence investigation. Here's what Bill Barr wrote in the letter, and this is what he says. The report's second part addressed a number of actions by the President, most of which have been the subject of public reporting, that the special counsel investigated it as potentially raising obstruction of justice concerns. And this is what it then says. After making a thorough factual investigation into these matters, the special counsel considered whether to evaluate the conduct under the department standards governing prosecution and declination decisions, but ultimately determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. Let's stop with that one. Mayor, you were a U.S. attorney. You were a number three ranking official in the Department of Justice. When you look at this one, determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment, what did that mean to you?
It means they didn't feel capable of making the decision, probably because they had dissent within their ranks. The most important thing is they didn't make the decision that to bring a case,
right,
or to conclude that a crime was committed. They actually should stop there. This extra language about not exonerating him.
Yeah.
A lot of prosecutors called me this morning and said that's very, very unusual and very unethical. You don't say, I'm not going to prosecute the person. Oh, by the way, this doesn't exonerate them. You just end the sentence with, we're not going to prosecute. That's your job.
Right.
This is getting into a little bit of the Comey misconduct.
Yep. So then it says, then Bill Barr writes, the special counsel therefore did not draw a conclusion one way or the other as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. So he simply laid out the facts that they uncovered. Uncovering the facts that we gave them the information on, by the
right.
way.
Absolutely.
Then he says, instead, for each of the relevant actions being investigated, the report sets out evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as, quote, this is very important, everybody, difficult issues of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction. Difficult issues of law and facts. So what people are ignoring that are focusing on this, it wasn't exonerated language, is that the special counsel themselves acknowledged that both the law on obstruction with regard to this was difficult, as were the facts as it relates to this. Thus, they did not recommend a prosecution.
Actually, they don't make a decision on either side. They just
right.
make one decision. is there enough evidence to go forward with a prosecution? And although there wasn't a prosecution here, they're still opining on it. And they said they can't come to the conclusion that he was exonerated. But they also didn't say they should bring charges against him.
Correct. And then the special counsel states that while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it's very important. So they didn't come to a conclusion that the president of the United States committed a crime of obstruction. It also does not exonerate him. But as the mayor just said, it's not really their job to exonerate. Their job is to either prosecute or decline prosecution. But this is what then happened. So here's what we think happened. We don't know this, Rudy. This is what we think happened. There was probably a discussion of a obstruction by tweet theory in the department, or at least within the special counsel's office. They did not have uniformity in that. We're speculating on this somewhat. They take it to the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel. What does the Office of Legal Counsel, what's their responsibility?
The Office of Legal Counsel looks at all the cases on obstruction and finds the following. There's no case that in any way suggests that you can prosecute this. They've never prosecuted a case in which, let's talk about the alleged Flynn conversation, which the president denies. Right. And I think he has the better of that because Comey didn't produce that memo for 3 months. And if he thought it was obstruction in May, why didn't he think it was obstruction in February? But in any event, I never heard of an obstruction case, and I'm sure the OLC has never heard of an obstruction case where somebody says, please go easy on the man. I mean, when I was a U.S. attorney, I must have had that said to me, 20 times. Give him a break. Think about his conduct to the government. Think about his being a general. Those are very, very normal conversations that are not obstruction of anything. If the president was inclined to obstruct, he would have ordered him to do it. He could have done it himself, just dropped the case. So I think the Office of Legal Counsel went through each one of the two or three situations like that. The firing of Comey. Well, he had 10 good reasons to fire Comey. And that's his prerogative under Article 2 of the Constitution. The one by tweet is the silliest thing I've ever heard. I mean, these are public comments designed to defend yourself against what are now turned out to be false charges. And their theory, or at least what it seemed to be their theory, was, he was sending signals to witnesses. Well, if you were to prosecute him for obstruction by tweet, a man couldn't defend himself in public.
Right.
Somebody could say, I robbed a bank. And if I say, no, I was at home with three people, then I'd be accused of obstructing justice by giving that information to three people. So I have to believe the Office of Legal Counsel basically said there's nothing you can prosecute here as obstruction.
So we now know that the next paragraph of the letter says, this is again from Bill Barr, the Attorney General, the special counsel's decision to describe the facts of his obstruction investigation without reaching any legal conclusion leaves it to the Attorney General to determine whether the conduct described in the report constitutes a crime. Over the course of the investigation, the special counsel's office engaged in discussions with certain department officials regarding many of the legal and factual matters at issue in the special counsel's obstruction investigation. After reviewing the special counsel's final report on these issues, consulting with the department officials, including the Office of Legal Counsel, as you mentioned, and applying the principles of federal prosecution that guide our charging decisions, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence developed during the special counsel's investigation is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Our determination was made without regard to and is not based on constitutional considerations that surround the indictment and criminal prosecution of a sitting president. What Bill Barr is referring to there is the Department of Justice guidelines say you cannot indict a sitting president, but he's saying that's not the basis upon which we decided not to go forward. The basis we decided not to go forward here, and I think this is really important, is because we looked at the facts and evidence and the law and concluded there was no basis to establish an obstruction claim against the president.
That's about as clear, as precise,
of a vindication
as you
can
possibly be. And then I'll add one other thing to it. How scandalous would it be if they were to charge the president of the United States with obstruction, and he did not destroy 30,000 emails, he did not destroy his servers, he did not have hammers and break up his phones as that guy did for Hillary.
He didn't fire the special counsel.
Comey would have to be asked. You said, with all that activity, that no prosecutor would prosecute a case, including a case of obstruction against Hillary Clinton, when she deleted 30,000 emails and you took a hammer to her cell phones. We didn't do that. That didn't happen here. He turned over 1.4 million documents. He didn't object to 40 witnesses. Every single piece of paper they wanted, you know this because—
They got it.
They got every single piece of paper they wanted. Nobody destroyed anything. Nobody held anything back. It would have been a major scandal if they were to try to bring a case based on obstruction when they didn't bring it against Hillary, where she was involved in numerous obstructive acts.
Jordan, is that the issue that some on the left are still trying to grab onto?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. They're now saying, well, we want to know all the information. What they don't like is that Bob Mueller did his job as special counsel, was not some liberal hero savior that was going to do something outside the bounds of the normal procedures and try to expand his power under the Department of Justice, which he is not an independent counsel. He's a special counsel. So I think, are very upset, one, with Bob Mueller, the left. They championed him. They made him out to be a hero. I think you always have to cautious making government prosecutors out to be heroes when you, because of partisan reasons, you know, for partisan reasons. It's one thing, you know, to take down bad people in crime. Okay, great. But for partisan reasons to make them a hero, because these are people that follow the laws, the evidence, and the fact. What did he do in this matter? He said, we couldn't put enough evidence together. We didn't have enough evidence. So, you know what? I can't make this decision. I'm going to have to give this over to the Attorney General, which he did voluntarily. Bob Mueller allowed Bill Barr to ultimately make the call on this.
Right.
And Bill Barr made the call on it without going the easy way. The easy way would have said it doesn't matter because a sitting president, as we are during our policy, can't be prosecuted while they're in office. So that would be the easy way. But they explained that in the footnote. That's not how they judged it. They judged it by if was there enough evidence that a criminal prosecution could be brought against President Trump? Answer from Bill Barr, Rod Rosenstein, and the DOJ Office of Legal Counsel, because Bob Mueller asked them to answer it, was no.
Yes, when we get back, we're going to talk about the political implications going forward with these House and Senate investigations and a very interesting last sentence in the section on obstruction that we're going to discuss. We'll be back with more, including your we're not taking comments and calls today because we've got the mayor here, but I know you're listening. Share this with your friends. Continue to be involved in the conversation. Jordan's going to let you know how you can support the ACLJ. We've got a very important last segment coming up.
Yeah, this is a historic broadcast. Even if you're just watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family to have Mayor Giuliani, to have my dad, right after this report is out, speaking to you on this. Share it with your friends and family. Keep listening. Go back in our archives as well and donate online at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Let me read you this last part of the letter that I want to cover, and this is on page 3. And it says this, in cataloging, and Mayor Giuliani said this was a really important sentence, and we're going to break it down for you because it's got a lot of legalese in it, but it's an important sentence. In cataloging the president's actions, many of which took place in public view, the report identifies no actions that, in our judgment, constitute obstructive conduct, had a nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding, and were done with corrupt intent, each of which, under department's principles of federal prosecution, guiding charging decisions, would need to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt to establish an obstruction of justice offense. In other words, there was no underlying crime here to obstruct.
Yeah. President said that to us so often, right?
Right.
How could, if I didn't collude, if that didn't happen, why would I obstruct it?
Right.
I mean, why would I obstruct it? Just to be gratuitous? I mean, so... although it's not determinative, he's quite right. I mean, you can engage in an attempted obstruction, I guess. But those are very, very rare cases that someone is going to be charged with obstructing the investigation of something that wasn't a crime and that they didn't do. And so that's the first point that he makes. But, I mean, this is so well done that that's not the only one. He then goes on to say that generally speaking, to obtain and sustain an obstruction conviction, the government would need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a person acting with corrupt intent engaged in obstructive conduct with a sufficient nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding. There he's saying, just because someone may have, now I'm not saying the president did this, but what he's saying as a lawyer is, just because somebody might think, have a thought about, oh, maybe I will obstruct this, or maybe I'll, they got to do something. You don't get prosecuted for thoughts.
Right.
And we know from the discussions with them that they were getting very close to wanting to examine the president's brain.
Yes, no, there's
at one point,
what
were
you thinking? I mean, remember that?
We want to know what he was thinking.
Yeah, what did you do? What did you say? What were you thinking?
It doesn't matter what he's thinking.
Right.
It's what he does.
Right.
Then, after he does something, you go figure out what he was thinking.
Yeah.
But if
they were doing it backwards.
I mean, people think all kinds of things. But thank God you don't get prosecuted for thinking.
All right, so let's go to we only got a few minutes left in this last segment. I want to hit this. So, Jordan, you've been monitoring the House, the Senate, what they're saying. What are they saying? And then we're going to talk about how absurd these ongoing investigations really will be.
They want to subpoena Bob Mueller to testify. They want to bring Bill Barr in to testify, Rod Rosenstein to testify. They believe that they need to see everything and then be their own judge and jury on whether or not there was both either collusion with Russia, which they're still not fully accepting this. I mean, I think they may just be in that PTSD mode with why they're not. I think that really they just can't yet accept that no one on the Trump campaign.
This is like the day after the election.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like the day after the election,
yeah.
Right?
No one on the Trump campaign.
You're going to have to go see a psychiatrist.
And no one affiliated with it. They just can't accept that no one on the campaign or affiliated with the campaign colluded or tried to collude with any Russian government officials or Russian individuals and agencies. I just think they can't accept that. They also, again, just are really upset with Bob Mueller about punting on the issue of obstruction, and that, which is not really punting, which is really following the rules and letting the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, and the Office of Legal Counsel make the final analysis of that after looking at their evidence, which I think, we get more information. This is just the summary to Congress.
Right,
and
right.
I think that Bill Barr, if this is any indication of what will be coming from Bill Barr, it will just continue, I think, to hurt this narrative that is out there, that the Democrats are still trying to, investigate, and say this wasn't enough, because it's, as you can see from what he can say in 4 pages, imagine what he can say in 40.
Yep.
And this is a very well-reasoned decision about obstruction. And their theory, that they would propound to us, is absurd.
Right.
I mean, no reasonable lawyer is... it would just be insane if they had sort of their theory that, well, maybe he thought, maybe he, you've got to do something. And then you got to compare it to cases that you decline, like the Hillary Clinton case with the destruction of emails and the destruction of servers and the destruction. None of that happened here. So I think this is one that is going to withstand a lot of scrutiny. It's not going to go anywhere. But these guys aren't going to give up. I mean, they're not a fair.
Well, here's what let's play what Representative Jerry Nadler, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, had to say.
We will ask the Attorney General to testify before the House Judiciary Committee. We will demand the release of the full report. The Attorney General's comments make it clear that Congress must step in to get the truth and provide full transparency to the American people.
So the Judiciary Committee, the Intel Committee in the House, and the Senate Intel Committee are all looking at Russia collusion and obstruction. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, issued almost 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers, made 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence, and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses, and the House and Senate saying that's not enough.
Right.
Mayor?
And these are, whatever you think of them, there's a group of 19 prosecutors.
Right. With 40 FBI agents.
Probably have hundreds and hundreds of years of experience investigating and prosecuting cases. FBI agents that might get up to a couple thousand years of experience.
Yep.
That, believe me, they're far more skilled than a bunch of politicians on the Hill at doing this. And boy, were they motivated to get them. I mean, these are people that worked at the Hillary Clinton Foundation. These are people who were crying when she had her victory loss night. These are people who have texts back and forth about how much they hate Trump, how much they want to prevent the country from having to deal with Donald Trump. If they couldn't get him, nobody's going to get him because it didn't happen. They just can't come to terms with it. Just like they can't come to terms with the fact that he won the election and they were running
so
a psychiatrist.
Happen, so what should be the response of people to the House and Senate that are being asked to pull up?
Well, I think they shouldn't be allowed to go forward unless they apologize for their mistake over collusion. I mean, these guys are throwing around charges against the President of the United States that amount to treason. He's colluding with a foreign government.
The Russians of all people.
He's colluding with the Russian government. I mean, gosh, he didn't take money for Uranium One like Hillary did.
So the question will be, you've got this House and Senate investigations that are going to try to continue. There's a political risk for them in all of this.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a big political risk in this. I mean, I'm hardly going to give them political advice. When you look at the reaction the public had to the Clinton impeachment, for which, hey, he did commit perjury.
Right, I mean, right. You know, maybe, and they still, the backflow was terrible.
Maybe you think that that was a topic they shouldn't have gone into. It was a personal topic, all that. I understand that. I actually didn't think that they should do an impeachment. But look at the backlash for that.
Unreal. What do you think on that, Jordan?
I think that, remember that the Republicans are in control of the U.S. Senate. Lindsey Graham is now the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman. And when Jim Comey tweeted after the four-page report came out, this weirdo picture of him staring up in the trees in the forest with the title, So Many Questions, you know what Lindsey Graham, that chairman of the committee, said? Could not agree more. See you soon. So I think you're right. I think that the other side has got to be very careful about this, too, and how they were involved in potentially illegal activities.
Who did it?
Be careful what you wish for. All right, folks, that does it for this very special broadcast.
Thank
we
you.
Have had
great
Mayor
job,
Giuliani on. Great job to you as well. And thank you all that
team.
Are listening to the whole team, to Marty and Jane Raskin and Jordan and Miles and Mark Goldfeder and Ben Sisney. I mean, whole team, Andy and Stewart. I mean, a whole team of lawyers working on this. And thanks for your prayers for us over this last 2 years on this case. It meant a lot. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.